This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Every time we talk to this guy, by the end of the conversation, I was like, ugh, it's so difficult being a Mets fan. I think those days might be done. Let's bring him in, Buster Olney. Good morning, Buster. How are you?
What's up, guys? Yeah, it does feel like a new dawn is breaking over that franchise. You know, there's a new sheriff in town. It's going to be fun.
So is there a reason? Because, I mean, Mets fans are so excited, and the optimism is through the roof. Is that appropriate? Like, we're a big market team. We have money. They're going to make moves. They're going to sign high-priced free agents. Like, we're all in now, right? Like, it's a completely different look for the Mets moving forward?
Yeah, yes. And taking the personality out of it, I think in some respects it's like when Steinbrenner bought the Yankees and decided that he wanted to get marquee names. And he elevated, you know, that franchise, you know, to a place where it had been back in the, you know, 1950s and 60s. And I think that's the direction of where the Mets are going. You know, unless he does a complete 180, which, and we have seen new owners do that, where they come in, they're excited, they spend some money, and then they blanch and they back off. Unless he does that, I think that the Mets' future is very different. And I don't expect him to do that because, of course, he's now the richest owner in Major League Baseball. And, yeah, between front office and player development and Major League roster, I think there are a lot of improvements to be made and that are going to be made by the Mets at a time when a lot of teams are ratcheting down and ratcheting back because of their concerns about the financial landscape.
Buster, and that's what I wanted to ask you. I mean, it's, you ask any Mets fan, the fact that the team sold is great, and we're all excited. But you can almost make the argument that it couldn't have sold at a better time for where, like you mentioned, baseball is, with so many people being let out, you know, let go in front offices, with, you know, teams looking to move guys like Francisco Lindor, with free agency, teams looking to pull back. This is a perfect opportunity for Steve Cohen.
It's unbelievable how perfect the opportunity is. And I've been making this comparison, and forgive me if I made it to you guys before, but it's like a real estate market collapsing and somebody has a bunch of money available and they swoop in and they just start buying up property. That's where the Mets are. As you say, there have been so many really talented people let go who work in scouting, who work in player development, minor league coaches, you know, people on the money side of the sport. And this winter, because teams are making these choices about, you know, option years, you know, all of a sudden you have guys like Charlie Morton and Colton Wong, really good major league players who are going to be available. And if you have some cash this winter, I mean, not only, you know, we're going to talk about whether or not the Mets are going to pursue a guy like Lindor or George Springer, but we're going to be talking about, you know, filling out depth on the roster all the way across. It's why I don't know exactly what they're going to do this winter, but I do know this, is that the fan base that's going to be the most juice going into 2021 is going to be the Mets fan base.
So, Buster, Rick just brought up the timing of everything, and I know we're going to get into the names of the candidates that are going to be floated out there for the general manager or the managerial position, but I wanted to ask you, do you have an idea of the timeline that Sandy Alderson has in terms of making those decisions official? Because we're about to be in the middle of a hot stove.
Well, and I'd say this, Chris. The one thing is that I think that this winter the baseball business is going to be slowed down dramatically.
Okay.
So, in other words, normally in most years we'd be saying, oh, boy, it's, you know, it's mid-November, you got to get moving because guys are going to be signing. I think it's going to be unbelievably slow because the teams are waiting to see if more news develops, like we got this morning about a possible vaccine. They're waiting to see, you know, to set their budgets and payrolls for 2021 until they have a better idea of whether or not they're going to be fans in the stands. I think a lot of agents are going to be slowing things down because they don't feel good about their chances for their prospect or for their clients getting deals under the current circumstances. But that all said, I think Sandy has, you know, started to make phone calls, started to reach out, text messages. And he's starting to make contact with people that they're going to fill out with their front office. It's an unbelievable buy opportunity that they have to be able to build a just an absolute superstar front office because of the current circumstances.
Buster only with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Buster, is it? I mean, it was hard to not make the postseason this year, and the Mets managed to not make it. Is that done? Like, do you think immediately this is a team that competes to win this division, or is this going to be a process where give him a couple years, let's let it, you know, settle in, or is this going to be right away? Like,
if you're a heating company, FW Webb is your one-stop source for top quality equipment and parts. One great example, Ryle McLean Boilers, an American company known for reliability and energy.
Came in, you guys remember that first summer, that whopper Red Sox deal, Adrian Gonzalez and Beckett and all these guys going over to the Dodgers. I think that that's what you're looking at with the Mets, that from here on out, every year, you know, making the playoffs is going to be the lowest bar that they have. It's going to be like the Yankees. They still have to do some backfilling and some additions in their farm system, I think, to get that up to speed. But their major league roster, shoot, when you start with a Jacob deGrom and the good lineup that they have, if they're able to go out and augment their rotation this winter, add a couple of key guys, as they say, there's going to be some really quality players available for relatively cheap prices in free agency this winter. You build up your depth, you absolutely could see them winning the division next year, competing with the Braves, who, you know, clearly at this point are the standard in the National League East.
Buster only joins us here on the show. Buster, two-part question. Where would you prioritize the need for the New York Mets? That's the first one. What would you go after first? And then the second one, because I think it's a huge question for this New York Mets team and how it's constructed, is, are you going to see a DH in the National League next year?
First, I know it's not exactly what you're aiming for, but the first person that I'd be going after right now is Chris Antonetti, who heads up baseball operations for the Cleveland Indians. He is regarded within the industry as an absolute superstar. And I do wonder if right now is the time where, with the Indians going through a transition, likely to trade Francisco Lindor, if this is a time where the Cleveland ownership might be willing, and Chris makes a lot of money, might be willing to decide, you know what, we're going to make a move. In terms of the players, to me, because of when you look at the roster, the clear need is with the rotation. And I am going to be really curious about where the Trevor Bauer conversations go. I think George Springer absolutely fits. You know, he's the best available outfielder. He's a local guy. I think he'd love to play in New York. He'd fit there easily. And, you know, unlike a lot of the Mets' current lineup, I think the fact that he's a right-handed hitter would really help the balance. And, yeah, I know, you know, Rob Manfred noted the other day that they don't have an agreement for the universal DH for 2021. I think everybody assumes that that's going to be part of baseball's future because the teams want to protect their most valued assets, and those are the pitchers. And so I think that they'll wind up working something out so that Dom Smith and Pete Alonso conceivably could be both part of the Mets lineup and roster next year.
Buster, what happens with Luis Rojas? Because he's one of the guys that the franchise turned to when Carlos Beltran got swept up in the sign-stealing scandal. So what ends up happening with him now that we have a change in ownership and management?
My guess is that he's going to be fine for next year because there is a lot of respect for him within the organization. Look, when we knew this was coming down, you knew Brody Van Wagenen was going to be let go. On the other hand, I don't think that's the feeling. Now, you know, Sandy, his history is that he'll come in and he'll be circumspect and he'll give people time and evaluate what he has, and he knows him from his previous time with the team. At some point, you know, could they conceivably make a change? Sure. I did wonder, you know, if the Red Sox had not brought back Alex Cora, if the Mets might have gotten involved in that conversation with Alex. But I don't know this for sure, but I suspect moving forward, at least for the immediate future, they'll stick with the manager.
Buster only with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So it seems like the crown jewel of this offseason trade-wise is probably Francisco Lindor.
No doubt.
Best guess, Buzz. First of all, it sounds like he's not going to be on Cleveland to start the season. Best guess in your mind, where is he the starting shortstop?
Yeah, and I'd say this. I mean, when we talk about whether or not he's going to be traded, remember, the Indians' history, because they're a small market team and they took major losses, and, you know, there's a lot of concern in the industry about the future of the Indians financially. There is an assumption on other teams that he's going to be traded. Just as the Indians in the past traded CC Sabathia and traded Cliff Lee and traded Trevor Bauer, they're going to want to get return for him as best they can going into 2021. He's a free agent at the end of next year. I think it's going to come down to the Yankees and the Mets. Right away, we're going to have this great competition between these two teams. Now, keep in mind that you know, their bidding might be shaped by the fact that next year's free agent class is the greatest collection of free agent shortstops we've ever seen. You know, Javier Baez might be a free agent, Carlos Correa, Trevor Story, Corey Seager. So that could affect how aggressive these teams are, but Lindor is absolutely perfect for both teams. He's an exceptional defender. He runs, he hits for power, he's considered to be an incredible clubhouse leader. I don't know if you guys have ever talked to him, met him. Unbelievable person. And I've had agents tell me that, you know, what we saw with Mookie Betts is probably going to become standard operating procedure. In the past, typically when guys are traded before their free agent year, they go and test the market. Now the feeling among agents is that the best leverage might be right when you're traded in the year leading up to free agency. So I think it's not only about trading for the player, but about signing him to a long-term deal. Yankees and Mets, I think he absolutely fits what they need moving forward.
He's got way too much flair for the Yankees. He doesn't want to be stifled by the Yankee way. Stop that, Buster. But the one thing I will say with the Yankees, though, Buster, being tied into Gerrit Cole and Giancarlo Stanton, would they be willing to spend that much money on Lindor?
Well, and that's why I wonder if when you get right down to it, you know, when push comes to shove, I mean, they certainly have the prospects to get it done. You know, they had conversations about Clevinger with the Indians. They made that big Andrew Miller trade. If Antonetti, you know, Mike Chernoff stay in the Cleveland front office and are the ones who'd make the Lindor trade, that we know the Cashman and those guys have a history. They can make trades. But because of that potential free agent class next fall, I wonder if the Mets or the Yankees at some point would blink and say, you know what, let's just wait and try to sign one of those guys. The one thing about Lindor that would fit the Yankees right in this moment is that, you know, he is projected for years to come to be an elite defender, but also he's a switch hitter.
Yep.
And I think it was absolutely borne out in the playoffs against the Rays. They need to get back to getting more left-handed hitting in that lineup. They're just too much. They're too much stacked on the right-handed side.
Buster, I heard you on with Carlin last week, and you said one of the decisions that surprised you and surprised a lot of people around baseball is the fact that the Mets extended the qualifying offer to Marcus Stroman. Were you able to glean any more insight as to why Sandy Alderson decided to make that move?
Yes. I was told by sources that the Mets are gambling because they know Marcus's personality. You know, Marcus is a guy who, you know, he's going to fight for himself. He's going to believe in himself. And their gamble is that, you know what? We don't think that he'll take the qualifying offer. We think that he's got enough pride where he's going to feel like, I can do better than that on the free agent market. And if he does that and he signs someplace else and the Mets get a pick, and if he accepts it, you know, you're talking about a short-term deal. I will tell you that just about every evaluator with other teams thinks that Marcus would be crazy if he turns it down. Mm. Because of the cold free agent market coming up, because of the fact that for 2021, when a lot of players are going to be taking pay cuts, a one-year deal for $18.9 million is a heck of a contract. I mean, think about it. The Rays turned down an option for Charlie Morton with all of his history of postseason success for 1 year and $15 million. So for Marcus to get a one-year deal for $18.9 and to buy time to go out in the free agent market next fall is not a crazy thought.
Buster, only with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Buster, I could talk to you about the Mets for the next 10 days without even discussing
another
team.
It's great.
It's sensational. It's the best joy I have in my life right now as a Giants fan. But let me ask you about LeMahieu and the Yankees. At the end of the day, do you think that he re-signs a three-four-year deal with the Yanks and stays here or moves on?
Yes, I think he does re-sign. I think that's his preference. The question's going to be whether or not they're going to be in the ballpark, and I really think that they'll wind up. I mean, first off, they love the player. They value what he does. If some other team steps in and, you know, gives him a 5-6 year offer with huge dollars, then I could see the Yankees saying, you know what, we're not going there. Especially this winter when a lot of the free agent numbers are coming down. But I just don't think that's going to happen. One of the conversations I have now with front office executives every day is, which teams do you think are actually going to spend this winter as opposed to cutting their payroll? And what I hear back a lot of course, the Mets, the Toronto Blue Jays maybe, the San Francisco Giants, who in the next 2 years have a ton of contracts coming off. Besides that, they're just not going to be that many spenders. Now, if the Mets look at LeMahieu and Steve Cohen decides, hey, not only do we want DJ LeMahieu because he's a terrific player, but we can take some back page away from the Yankees. Yeah, you could see them making an offer that the Yankees decide, we'll just go and dive into the pool of maybe 300 free agents that are going to develop and not make that huge investment. But I do think the Yankees in the end will wind up being within range of what LeMahieu, you know, could get, and his desire to stay with the team, I think, will manifest.
Yeah, but Buster, and this isn't really my question, this is just a statement. If they trade for Lindor, that means that LeMahieu is going to be somewhere else.
I'd imagine. I would agree with that, because as I mentioned before about Mookie Betts, I think that we are at a stage with the state of baseball's finances where if you get a prospective free agent who gets traded this winter, I think that guy's going to sign, and Lindor right at the top of the list. I don't think he's going to reach free agency if he's traded.
All right, so I was watching the Gold Glove presentations, and they had Nolan Arenado on, and he 8 straight Gold Gloves, another Platinum Glove, and they asked him about where he'd be this upcoming season, and he was not committal to the Rockies. Is he a guy that could be on the Mets' radar?
He could be, but it's very interesting because, of course, he's a tremendous player, you know, wins the Gold Glove every year, arguably the best defender in baseball. And on the other hand, his contract was signed under baseball's old finances. And I think if the Rockies are going to trade him, they're going to have to eat a crap load of money along the lines of what we saw. You guys remember, you know, when Alex Rodriguez signed his 10-year deal with the Texas Rangers, it was 10 years, $252 million. It was a record. When he was traded to the Yankees, the Rangers wound up eating 35 to 40% of that. It was $9 million a year that was left on it. I think the same thing would have to be in place if the Rockies are going to unload Arenado's contract, because no one's going to take that contract under the current financial situation at face value. They're going to want the Rockies to eat a lot of money, and I just don't know if Colorado's ready to do that yet. But, yeah, I mean, he would make sense. If the Rockies are ready to just dump as much of the contract as they can at a loss, then you could see the Mets involved. Maybe you'd see the Cardinals involved. A lot of teams would be. But the first thing that would have to happen is the Rockies would have to acknowledge that they're going to have to eat a crap load of money. Mm-hmm.
Buster, is starting pitching an area that Brian Cashman is going to address again this offseason? Because it doesn't sound like they want Hap back, and Tanaka and Paxton are both free agents. What are they going to do with the rotation?
Yeah, I think there are going to be enough options where they're going to be able to get some veterans, you know, on one-year deals. That's where the fact that the free agent market, I think, is going to serve the Yankees well. You know, we're all curious about whether or not the New York teams take a run at Trevor Bauer, because Trevor Bauer playing in New York would be incredibly interesting because of his omnipresence on social media and how good of a pitcher he is. You know, he would be a great Robin to Jacob DeGrom's Superman if he were on the Mets, and for the Yankees, same thing with Gerrit Cole, and we'd all be evaluating his relationship with Trevor Bauer. But I think there are going to be so many good pitchers available on shorter-term contracts. That's my guess as to where the Yankees goes. For example, I mentioned Charlie Morton. You know, he's made it clear that he is nearing the end of his career, and I suspect he's going to be getting a lot of similar offers, one-year offers for 2021. He'd be a good guy to add.
Last one for me, Buster, and Buster only with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Is Cano locked in as the Mets' second baseman next year, or is there a chance they could, you know, eat a large portion of that salary and send him away in some kind of a trade?
I don't know. I think it's too early to really know, and it probably just depends on what other dominoes are going to fall in place. Maybe the group that comes in looks at him and says, look, there could be a role for him as opposed to just dumping him and giving him away, which if you're trading Robbie now, that's what would have to happen, especially with all the available DHs in the free agent market. So maybe their first thing would be that they would just evaluate him in spring training and see where they are. And that to me is going to be the biggest difference between how Brody handled his first months on the job and between what we're going to see with Sandy. I think that those guys are going to be more patient, and they're going to wait and see what they see before making any deals. And you know, Brody's not the only executive who did it the way that he did it, but it's clear those were some of his biggest mistakes, were coming in and just making deals without really having a full sense of what each of the players were worth and what they had in the organization already.
All right, Buster, last one for me. JT Realmuto, every Mets fan wants him. Doesn't sound like he's that interested in being in New York. Is he wherever, you know, whoever offers me the most money kind of guy, or is he more, you know, where he fits best?
Yeah, and I, you know, I saw that story. I don't know if that's true about JT not wanting to play in New York. You know, to me, playing Philadelphia and New York, it's one and the same. I don't really know that there would be a big difference. I do know this. He liked being there in Philadelphia. Bryce Harper's lobbied on his behalf. The one thing about the Mets under Sandy Alderson, I don't think they're going to be a team that's just going to go out and sign a bunch of the highest-priced guys all across the board. And if you look at the areas of the free agent market that could absolutely be exploited, where you're going to find value, one of those is catcher. There are so many free agent catchers and guys who are really good. And one guy that I kind of wonder about that might be a fit for the Mets is James McCann. You know, all-star, mm-hmm. played with the White Sox last year. He mm-hmm. brings a lot of value, and you wouldn't have to be a guy, or you wouldn't have to give him, you know, the $100 million-plus contract that I think JT's going to get. If I had to guess today, I think JT's going to wind back up in Philadelphia.
So, Buster, you're talking about catchers. You're leading me right into my next question. What's going to be the Yankees' approach with Gary Sanchez in the catcher position overall going into 21?
Yeah, and I think first and foremost they want to see if they can rediscover that excellent hitter that they saw at the outset of his career. It has absolutely confused them and befuddled them that he's become such a swing and miss guy, and that it seems like he hasn't been able to make adjustments to the plate. Because let's face it, guys, you know, one of the questions moving forward about Gary Sanchez is about whether or not there's going to be the implementation of the electronic strike zone. If that happens, it's amazing how different the baseball world is going to look at a guy like Gary Sanchez if he goes back to being a really good hitter. Now, he's kind of looked at as being a guy who's a big defensive liability, and you hope that he hits enough to overcome that. If they go to an electronic strike zone, all of those things that he doesn't do well as a catcher, other than block balls in the dirt, those things go away. Like the whole pitch framing thing, that becomes completely obsolete. And I do wonder if that's part of the reason why the Yankees are going to be patient with him and trying to rediscover the hitter that he was when he first got to the big leagues.
The great Buster Olney joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. Buster, I got to be honest. Of all the times we've ever spoken to you, this was the most uplifting, positive, best conversation we've had.
Buster!
I'm glad. Well, I think you can thank Steve Cohn for that, so I appreciate it, though.
No,
Ricky, one more.
No, Buster, this is having you on is the best. We love having you on. Last one, quickly. Do you think at any part of Brian Cashman regrets trading for Stanton?
I think if you gave truth serum, I think he'd have to tell you it didn't work out. I remember saying and thinking at the time they made the deal and talking with executives with other teams, they were like, wow, that's a great deal for the Yankees. They thought it was an absolutely perfect deal for the Yankees. It hasn't worked out. And now there's no question. If you were to, you know, try to move that contract now, it would be exactly
you
what
couldn't.
We're talking about with Arenado. You'd have to wind up eating so much of it that it probably makes it not worthwhile. If Stanton stays on the field the next couple of years and he hits better, more consistently, then yeah, you could play his way back in. But at this point, I don't know how anyone could say it's been a good deal for them.
All right, Buster, listen, we got to run. Great stuff. We'll talk to you soon when the Mets start signing these high-priced free agents. We'll certainly get you on right away.
That'll be fun.
Yeah,
all right,
sure will. Thanks. That's Buster Olney. I got to tell you, I am so excited about the prospect of Mets baseball moving forward.
How could you not be?
I mean, you have to be.
I mean, pretty much what he's explaining is that Steve Cohen, what he's going to do, he's going to pick up the phone. He's going to call Mike Chernoff over at the Indians and say, this is what we want to do. I want Francisco Lindor and I want Chris Antonetti. Let's get this thing done.
And you're going to give it to me because I get what I want.
But that's the amazing part. Yeah. And the reason I asked that last question, because, I mean, Kay mentioned it and we keep hearing it and hearing it. Because, I mean, you know that they would like to move Gleyber Torres if they had the choice over to second base, where he's more comfortable.
Yes.
Yep.
If there's no Stanton on the Yankees, there's no question they end up trading for Lindor.
Yeah, because then you have flexibility.
Because he's going to get a huge extension. Huge extension.
Yeah. Well,
could you imagine that? But could you imagine that middle infield?
No.
Lindor, Torres up the middle, stop.
No. That would be, and Urshela at third and LeMahieu at first.
Ooh. Forget it.
Yeah, but that's not going to be the case. You wouldn't think you can't keep everybody.
Well, because they got no financial flexibility with him, and on top of it, I mean, what Buster just explained: if pitch framing becomes obsolete, and Gary
Which
Sanchez
it's going
returns
to at some point,
okay, and then Gary Sanchez actually turns back into Gary Sanchez offensively, You got no place for him because now he can't be your DH.
No.
So you got to move on from him.
Nobody can be your DH.
No, obviously not. Next 7 years, you got your DH.
That's right. Locked in. We mentioned this before, but it's worth mentioning again. By the way, we're in no rush today. We're with you all the way up until noon. We'll take in half of Bart and Han. They're the Pirates. We're the Pirates today, taking half of their show. They'll be on from 12 to 1. The Michael Kay Show's 2020 contest continues today. 3 o'clock, the Michael Kay Show has talked to the biggest sports celebrities in the game, and all you have to do is recognize their voice. They play an audio cut of someone that's been on their show. They're very easy. You call up with the answer. Boom. Make sure you're listening for your chance at 20 great prizes over 20 days to make your home life a little more enjoyable. Today, Rick, guys are giving away $1,000 cash.
You got a little choked up there for a second.
It's emotional for me.
Get a little emotional giving
it's
money.
It's emotional for me. You know what's great about you? By the way, 2020 contest brought to you by PC Richardson, Kansas City Steak, The Bartesian, Premium Cocktails on Demand, and 98.7 ESPN. Any hiccup, anything that might go wrong with anybody else that could be unknown to just the normal listener, you make sure to bring attention to that immediately.
Yeah, I just want to prove to you that I'm listening to every word you say.
Okay, so that's what it is. It more than you're making fun of me, you're there acknowledging that you are paying close attention to me.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
How about Buster, too? Yeah, Marcus Stroman's got a... They're counting on him having so much pride in himself that he turns down almost $19 million. Listen, you can keep my pride for $19 million.
Right. I'm telling you, right?
You can buy my pride for a third of that price, yeah.
I'm telling you.
Give me but the 1 year. It's a smart play for the Mets, though.
Oh, it is a smart play. And, I mean, it's really a no-lose proposition. If he decides he wants to try to get a long-term deal, turns it down, okay, fine. We get a draft pick compensation. And if
right.
he doesn't, then we get him for 1 year and he's on a prove-it deal.
Exactly.
And he's highly motivated.
Right. And he wants to pitch well because he's going to get paid at the end of that year. And he's mm-hmm. good. I mean, if you slot him in as your third or fourth starter, you could do a lot worse than that.
Yeah, that's good business. You heard Buster. The reason why you should be so excited is this is not only great because the Wilpons no longer own the Mets. The timing of this sale could not be better for the Mets.
Right, because there's going to be so much availability.
So much availability.
Oh, it's thrilling. Oh. It really is. Like, I can't... And I've said this, and people say, come on, this is one of the great days in the history of the Mets. I firmly believe that.
I don't disagree with you. I don't.
I mean, this is acquiring Piazza. This is winning the World Series in 86. This is going to the World Series in 2015. This is 69. This is Seaver. This is one of those days. This is one of those moments for this organization.
Speaking of Seaver, too, another thing I like that Steve Cohen
statue
did.
Statue of Seaver?
Yeah, that no more no procrastinating. The statue will be ready for 2021. Enough of this. It's going to be ready.
This guy gets stuff done.
I love it. I mean, he is. You know what else I like too? A little sneaky nugget that I didn't realize because no one had said it at the time, which is probably why he decided. You know what? My 2.6. I'll walk away. Why he came back? Guess who's even a bigger Mets fan than him?
His wife.
His wife's father.
Yeah. Oh, he hasn't missed a game. Do you follow them on Twitter?
Goes to every game. Yeah.
Hasn't missed a game in, I think, ever, maybe.
So if your wife and your wife's father
yep.
are huge, I mean, it's just lining up perfectly.
It's the dream. He's going to address the media tomorrow, by the way.
Tomorrow, 12:30?
Yeah, his introductory press conference.
I'm most interested to see what he does at manager.
I think they'll keep Rojas.
You think so?
I do. I mean, I don't have any reason to believe 100%, but I think he will. I think Brody did a bad job. I don't think Rojas necessarily did a terrible job.
No, I don't think he did a terrible job, but if some of the stories are true about him just like Brody sending over, lineups and making decisions and everything else, I don't know how that plays in the clubhouse. You tend to lose respect for a manager like that. Like a guy like Buck Showalter, I mean, he intrigues me. Cuz I think he's the kind of manager this group of players needs.
Would love that.
Nice level of accountability.
A baseball
he's a savant.
Man. He's not going to be prisoner to analytics every single day.
Yeah, I mean, I would rather have that. I would rather have like a working relationship between the GM and analytics department as opposed to it's a one-way street where we make the decisions and you bite the bullet if it doesn't work out.
Right. But you know what the nice thing is? This is the first time, Chris, that you haven't sat here and said, how are they going to shop at the five and dime store? What like new and creative way are they going to? How are they going to bring in a player by giving him an extra year. Like you're now the Dodgers. You're not that small market, pathetic, have to be extra creative to bring in a legitimate player team anymore.
Well, Dave, you have so many more possibilities because you have the richest owner in the sport. I think that's what it comes down to, and I like the analogy that Buster threw out there. It's kind of like having a lot of money in a bad real estate market where everything has gone south. You're going to get things at bargain basement prices, and you're going to get tremendous value. So this is the perfect time for the Mets. The timing couldn't be any better for them, not only with trying to acquire players, but also with building out their infrastructure and getting good front office people. Like, that's where it starts.
But you heard
that's the most important thing.
If you can put that part in place, that's going to set your team up for sustainable success.
That, I think, is most. That is going to be, for me, outside of who we sign in free agency, that'll be the most important piece of this thing, is who he ends up putting in the front office and scouting department and everything else.
Huge.
Because that's been lacking. I mean, our analytics department's been a joke.
Oh, it's been terrible.
I mean, how we develop
players is a
joke.
We got the Dave Gettleman computer folk.
Yeah.
We got like three people.
Well, because they don't want to spend the money. They don't want to spend the money on the infrastructure of the organization.
No, because they chose to spend their money on players. So when you looked at payrolls, it wasn't like, oh my God, I can't believe the Mets aren't spending any money. It looked fine, but then you realized where they weren't spending money, and that was the real problem.
Yeah, and then the players they brought in were questionable.
The article I saw in the Post about the high-speed cameras throughout the ballparks that the players could use as a tool in order to improve, like the fact that the Wilpons didn't pull the trigger on something like that, that just tells you the state of affairs with that franchise under that ownership. Like, you were never going to get to the point where you can compete with the other big market teams around baseball.
Because you weren't a big market team. You were
that's
big market
ridiculous,
team
though,
in
Dave.
Location alone.
What club in professional sports isn't willing to spend in their video department just so the players can see what they're doing right or what they're doing wrong?
But, Chris, when you don't have the money, how can you do it?
Fair point. I just think it's ridiculous. If you
own
a team, the money shouldn't be a problem.
Own this team.
If you can own a professional sports team, the money shouldn't be a problem. It should.
Santi, I don't know if it's possible. I know you have a million things going on. Maybe
Kakaw,
if it's possible.
Yeah, this is big news.
This is big news. And I
That almost
blew my eardrums.
That
by
just
the
blew
way.
My eardrum right out.
The Masters starts on Thursday of this week. Sergio Garcia has just withdrawn. He tests positive for COVID-19.
Yeah, not great.
No, bad.
You can actually have College Game Day
at the Masters.
Yeah, on
Augusta.
Saturday.
Cool is that?
It's really cool. The fact that we have the Masters going on this week is unbelievable.
You'll be checked out starting on Thursday, right?
It doesn't start till
1.
It's perfect for us.
Yeah, coverage doesn't start till 1. Unless we decide we want to start stealing some. I mean, we could just start stealing people's time. We could just go straight pirate.
I have no problem with that at all.
I mean,
just
this could be the first
VCR takeover.
Yeah, this could be the first step. We steal an hour of Barton Hunt.
An hour today, two hours tomorrow. We start out as, like, you know, petty thieves, and we're John Dillinger by the end of this thing. We're going to take your show. Give it to us. And there's nothing you can do. I have an important message, Rick, and it's multiple reasons you should listen. A, it's important, I think you'd like to know. And B, if I mess up, you'll jump on me, so people will enjoy that as well.
I'm in.
Yeah. All right, we here at 98.7 ESPN are thankful for the amazing men and women of the armed forces who have served our country and the incredible sacrifices that they've made and that they continue to make. So what we want to do is recognize your loved ones this Veterans Day. Send us an email at 98.7FM@ESPN.com, including their name, where they're from, and the branch of military that they represent. Again, that's 98.7FM@ESPN.com. We'll shout out your loved one's name on the air this Veterans Day, which is this Wednesday. So to the men and women who have served and are still serving, 98.7 ESPN thanks you for continuing to defend our freedom. Boy, I was good there, huh?
Fantastic.
That was about
but
as good as it
be.
Gets.
That's an important read. You had to be.
Right. Like, if I mess up the K-Show promo, important, but not to the level of the veterans, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, that's of the utmost importance.
Yeah. Well, I did well. Look at that. Ryan and Comac. Ryan, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
All right. So, playfully, I kind of want to come at you, Dave, a little bit, because I was catching up on the podcast, and I heard this fraud, R.J. Bell, if that's even his real name, take a broadside shot at New York Tech Bears. And I'm a fellow alum, and I just feel like if they came at Virginia, they came at Boston University, I feel like Rick and Chris would have defended themselves a little bit more there.
I don't care. I mean, listen, what do I care? RJ could take all the shots he wants. He has a 2-6 record representing himself right now.
Yeah, I mean, the guy works at a 55% success rate and just...
Oh, we don't need to destroy RJ. He's entertaining. He does a good job. He's a nice guy. He takes shots. It's part of the shtick.
But let's be honest. Let's be honest. Let's be honest, though. Your school is like a step, like just a step above DeVry.
No, I'm not. No.
Wow.
No. You know what I have? I have a beautiful thing. I have a beautiful thing called a diploma. So you can beat me up all you want, but it's completely unfounded and unfair. No.
Yeah,
it's a legitimate accredited university. It's a nice school.
No, Rick, I really look up to Dave in a very serious way. I'm from Long Island. Like, I really, you know, I've listened to him for a long time. I go to New York Tech, and so I look up to him. And so that's why
Rick,
I'm
what you don't realize, and thank you for Ryan for this call. People look up to me, and it pains you, and you don't want to believe it's true, but it's true. Ryan, please continue.
He hung up. He couldn't take it. He was so overwhelmed.
It was emotional.
He probably got a chance to speak to you.
It's a big moment for him.
You're like you're the king of the D-gens, is what you are.
I'm the one that's made it.
You're the one that's made it, believe it or not. from getting high working at Dunkin' Donuts to now all of a sudden
playing bagel soccer in Dunkin' Donuts to look at me
bagel
now.
Bagel soccer.
It was unbelievable.
The mean
Chinese poker in the back and bagel soccer in the front. And
Dave's got the World Series of Dice going on in the back of the Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, he's shooting craps in the back of Dunkin' Donuts.
I could write a tell-all book of what happened in that Dunkin' Donuts, and you would lose your minds.
No, you got a couple revelations in the studio back when we were actually in the studio that Canty and I jaws hit the floor.
Yeah. Lose your mind.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Kicks them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.